rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a look at Everton with Pad from Toffee TV. Morning, Pad.
Morning.
So last night you were hobnobbing, mixing with some Everton stars. Jonjo Kenny?
Yeah, got to speak to Jonjo last night at the Everton season ticket home event in the Baltic Triangle. And
sorry, what's the event? The renewing season tickets,
yeah, it's more of a, you know, publicity thing and inviting season ticket holders almost as a thank you and just getting the awareness out there.
So it's not like an early renewal for next season or something like that?
Oh, the renewals are already started.
Oh, have they?
Oh, I've already started. Yeah, I've already done my first, I think my first payment comes out in about 2 weeks.
Well, they all sold out season tickets for Everton?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Right.
So I think now is the time to try and maybe catch the doubters. Maybe now the first month was obviously trying to, you know, getting the renewals, and the second one would be like, please come next season.
Get in. It's nice that they give something back though, that they have an event like that. So season ticket holders, go along and you meet some of the players. So you got a chance to sit down with Jonjo Kenny, which is quite nice because he's the local lad, and he's had a real impact. Well, how did you find him?
I found him fine. Obviously, young lad and trying to, you know, probably trying to think of what to say and what not to say, which is a really interesting thing in football, I think. When you see Wayne Rooney and how he performed on the TV on Monday night and how everybody was shocked about how good he was, because normally he has to probably think about every word he says on the spot. And I think that's a real problem we've got at the moment in football. I mean, it's not a real problem in terms of, you know, in terms of the grand scale of things, but in terms of closing that gap between fans and players, which has never been as big, I think that's a real gap. Fans want to hear players speak in a passionate way and an honest way, and it's almost like they're stopped from doing it. But it's only actually the football clubs that are stopping them from doing it, and let's be honest, certain quarters of the press who will jump on everything you say. But fans want you to be open and honest and just say the truth, because we live in a world now where it's very easy to spot, you know, nonsense, let's just say. Well, not just that.
Did he speak the truth about Saturday's mauling?
Well, I didn't ask him about that because I was more about his general year. Listen, I only had a couple of minutes with him, if I'm honest, and I wanted to just ask him, you know, about his year, because he's had an absolutely amazing year when you think about it. But I will say, at the event itself, you know, Saturday was mentioned and it was discussed, and there was no hiding from the fact. And that's all fans want. They don't want, you know, this constant spin, or even clubs to just bury their heads in the sand and not communicate with the club for a day or two. It's actually the space that channels like mine and other, you know, far more successful channels than mine are filling, and that's why people go to those channels, because they want to hear people speak the truth. So if the clubs and the players can do that, then I think that the clubs themselves would find a lot more you know, successful communication with the fans.
Sometimes you don't realise how young some of these guys are.
Oh, no.
I'm sure it's the same with Jonjo Kenny. If you meet, say, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Ben Woodburn, some of these young lads, you go, wow, you sort of look like school kids, you know, and yet you're expected to speak with some sort of level of authority and maturity about big events like being beaten by Arsenal.
Yeah, and I suppose, the, as you say, it's not just speaking, it's acting. It's always probably counterintuitive to actually your age, because you are just coming out of your teenage years, and you will say and do things, and it's probably about thinking about that all the time, and that must be really difficult, being on your guard all the time. And as I say, they're probably taught all the time, don't say the wrong thing, be always mindful, and that doesn't always help in conversations or in interviews, because you want, especially when you've got a short length of time, you want people to come across succinctly so it flows. You know, and we've seen that with players. We still see that now with players. You know, you look at people like even people like Steven Gerrard when he was still playing. If he was having interviews, you'd be very coy, and when you could see the cogs ticking over in his head. But now when you see him on TV, he's really good.
He's relaxed
because he's just relaxed. He's in an environment that he's probably getting training, and he's in an environment where nobody is there to catch him out. Mm. They just want him relaxed because that's what makes good TV. And I think that's what you're starting to find on both the sporting channels, you know, on Sky and BT, is that they're having conversations where they're very, very relaxed, and it's leading to these brilliant exchanges. That's what we seem to be getting at the moment.
Well, that's what we had with Carragher and Rooney the other night. And actually, I think with age as well, with experience comes a little bit more willingness to say a bit more. So Wayne was very blunt with some of the stuff he said on Monday Night Football. Yeah.
And that annoys me because I want that from my football club. I've said this loads of times. I still don't understand why clubs bury their heads in the sand after the game. If I was in charge at a football club, a half an hour after the game, I'd want someone from the players or the coaching staff to come out and maybe get someone a journalist who's maybe a neutral journalist and actually have a very frank and open conversation on film about what had just happened, and the interviewer would be allowed to break it down to and maybe take tweets from fans and things like that. Imagine if you put that on the club's channel or the club's YouTube channel an hour after the game. Fans would sit and watch that and would really enjoy it because it would be raw. And you know what? That's what fans want. They want almost to go through it with somebody else, sit down and go through that what's just happened. That's why phone-ins have been so popular. It allows the fan to get all that off their chest. And it's the same with videos. If they can sit down and watch them and go through that anger together, that process. And I think football clubs are missing a trick by not. They almost go, oh, we can't do that because we're going to hurt someone's feelings. We're going to hurt those players or that manager's feelings. But who cares? Forget about them. They're getting paid a lot of money. I'd like to have a bit of openness and honesty and get it out there. And I think football clubs need to open up and start being truthful with fans in that way, because
they don't do it because the managers are too powerful. And actually, the press officers are too frightened of telling the managers, this is what you should do with
you. You know what, Steve? In other countries, certainly America, it just doesn't happen. Because at the end of the day, I think in America, they have a six-minute rule where after the game finishes, the dressing room doors open after 6 minutes. And whatever state you're in, the media are allowed in and can ask you anything they want. Because at the end of the day, all those sports in America are TV sports. The revenue is generated from television, and that's the key. You are allowed to go in and ask a question you want, but in this country, we're terrified. I go mad. I honestly go mad at press conferences where the questions I want asked are not asked. So how is a manager ever gonna be broached about a subject if no one ever asked the question? You know,
what did you really want asked after Saturday's defeat?
Well, after Saturday, I would want to know why half the team was changed. You know, why was half the team changed to a why did you go fat? Why did you feel like you had to go negative against the team? He mentioned in the prep and afterwards that it was based on Swansea's performance. Why on earth are you basing a away performance on a team's home performance, against Arsenal, who were poor away from home? What led you to that? What led you to think that after winning a game on a Wednesday night, where we played very well at times, that you thought you would change the five at the back and bring a new player into a system that didn't work? What was your thought process? And actually get it out of them, not let them off. And you're right, a lot. This is the problem. You see press conferences and managers are pushed on things, and then the press officer goes, "There's no, you can't ask that question." Why can't you ask that question? Why aren't you allowed to ask a question four times till you get an answer? Because at the end of the day, without that TV company paying all that money, you'd be nowhere. Everton Football Club would be absolutely nowhere without the TV revenue. We know that that's a fact. Everton do not create enough money themselves. So why aren't the press allowed to ask questions? That move them on. And the problem is that when the TV companies come in for the press conferences, it's always the same people. They're always dead pally. They're always dead matey. They know everybody. They get the dinner on transfer deadline day. It's a joke.
It's too much of a relationship.
And it's almost like, there's no point asking that question because we know what reaction we're going to get. Well, you know what? As a fan, I would love to see that question asked because I would like to see the manager sit in that seat, under pressure and have to answer a difficult question that I want to hear the answer to. And it's not nothing...
Well, you don't want your manager under pressure, do
I
you?
Do. Why shouldn't he be?
You just want an answer to a question. Well, you don't want him...
No, hang on. After a 5-1 defeat, why shouldn't the manager sit there?
Well, he should just talk honestly, shouldn't he?
But they don't, though, do
there's
they?
No need to put him under pressure.
No, I'd put him under pressure. I'd want to know, and I wouldn't let him out the room until I got an answer out of them. You know, when a manager comes out and goes, oh...
Do you think a lot of these managers actually feel pressure when asked questions?
No, why should they? Why should...
Exactly,
why
that's
should,
what I mean. I
so why aren't they put under pressure? Because I always think this, right? The media are the middlemen between the club and the fans. So why aren't they asking questions that we want to hear? And why aren't they asking... You know, and it's not even a hard question. Sam Allardyce was asked after the game about Ademola Lookman coming off the bench and scoring the winner. And he was like, I don't want to talk about that. Why don't you want to talk about it? Because I want to hear about it as a fan. I want to know why you allowed a player to go on loan that you said shouldn't go on loan there. So why didn't you just stop that loan? I want to know why that player's got all that power that he can go on loan with almost without the best wishes of the club. I want to know that for a fact. I want to know why Everton didn't pursue a left back. I wanted to know why at the beginning of the month if Luke Garber was going to get a chance. No one from the press asked it, and yet it took a fan in the general meeting to ask that question. Now these journalists, they know what's going on with the fans because they follow the fans on Twitter. All the journalists follow me on Twitter. I've got all the top journalists, and I'm not being big-headed by saying it, but all the top journalists are looking to see what I'm saying, so they can. Because they're not Everton fans, so they want to see what they want to gauge. They'll be following fans from every club. They want to gauge the mood of the fans so they can ask questions. So why aren't they asking the questions, and why are they letting them off so easily? Because after a 5-1 defeat, I don't want to hear a journalist from Everton just go, oh, what happened, Sam? Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Oh, it's awful. I want to see them absolutely grilled, because it doesn't happen enough in football. And maybe if the press... used all that to themselves and started doing that, then clubs wouldn't allow them to get off so easy. And I say that comes from the clubs. The clubs should start that, because we're the ones, you know, we were there week in and week out. I'm not going to say we're paying.
You really got that off your chest, haven't you?
As I say,
why wasn't Wayne Rooney playing at the weekend?
Well, yeah. Why wasn't that question asked? Why wasn't the question asked? Or after the Leicester game, why didn't someone say, I thought you said Gylfie Sigurdsson and Wayne Rooney couldn't play together? Or when he said that, why didn't someone say, well, hang on, I've got the stats to back up that actually Everton don't win games of football when Wayne Rooney and Gylfie Sigurdsson don't play, because we don't? So I want to ask him that question. Why didn't he play on Saturday? I want to know why he didn't play. Well, this and that. Well, no, Tom, give me an answer of why he didn't play, or why Gylfie Sigurdsson didn't play, or why you thought playing five at the back. No one ever asks these questions, and these are the things fans want to know. And it does actually really annoy me, and it annoys other fans, because you feel like they're getting away with it because no one is prepared. And when it comes to Friday or Thursday, when they have the press conference and whoever's there from Sky is joking along, and I'll ask it almost like a sympathetic question. Now it'll be, oh, are you over your defeat? Well, you know what? Look, every one of those Evertonians who went to London on Saturday night, they're not over the defeat. So, you know, it does. It drives me mad. It drives me mental that these questions never get asked. And you know what? They should be. And the Premier League should have the power to say, hang on, you're not getting away with this. If we come to a press conference, we're asking what we want, because we actually pay the bills. Okay, the top six, their money all comes from, you know, stadiums and sponsors. But for everyone else, it's the Premier League TV money that's paying for everything. And you only have to go to see Everton's books to know that for an absolute fact.
Ped, that's one of your greatest 14-minute rants. Goodness me, take a breather.
Well, you know, you got me there.
We've got nothing else to talk about now.
Rock, sport and talk.
This is Radio City Talk.